This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this third day of October 2024. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, he's doing it with style for a while. Our producer is Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And the cackle you heard came from Madam Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
And formerly known as Leaping Lizards Lisa. Okay. And we have with us here live in the studio, Pastor Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to be here.
And way out there in Illinois or someplace, who knows where he's at tonight. We have none other than Dr. Peter Glidden.
Leaping Lizards.
Alrighty. So now we have a whole lot to get to tonight. We're going to get into it. And the title of my message, I know I'll ask with Richard. God's plan for the eternal salvation for those who chose him. Now that there is called a definition. That's the definition of the word predestination.
There you go.
And there you go. And so here tonight we're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 2. But I think I'm going to just start right from the very beginning, Richard.
Sure. So, you want me to read or you want
yeah.
to
read? Why don't you go ahead and read it. Read it through verse 4 and then stop.
Okay. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
And so here now, the word Pentecost means 50 days. That's what it means, 50 days.
Yes.
And that comes, it's talking about 50 days here in this case was after the Feast of the First Fruits, okay?
Of the Passover Feast.
Mm-hmm. And so here you had this rushing wind. What was the rushing wind symbolic of? It was the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, sure.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so the Holy Spirit's, you know, the wind, wire, fire, and water all represent the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And it said here, and that you had these cloven tongues, like as a fire, set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost to begin to speak with utter, with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, big difference between that day as they were speaking in tongues and what you see today with people like Kenneth Copeland and all of these others. The one woman, I'm trying to think of her name.
Paula White?
No. Well, yeah, Paula White, she was... I was listening to her and her absolute gibberish. First of all, every place in the Bible where it refers to tongues, it refers to known dialects.
Yes, and as we move on with this, you're going to see all the different locations that where they heard it in their own language. So yeah.
Well, there were 17 different regions represented with 15 different known dialects,
mm-hmm.
And so here, and go ahead and read. Pick it up in verse 5 and read it through 13.
Okay. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these that which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia, Phygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meanest thus? Others mocked, said, These men are full of new wine.
And so now here, you got to kind of picture this. First of all, you just mentioned those different regions where, and these are known dialects that they were speaking of, and it wasn't like you have today where you have these people speaking all this gibberish. Okay?
Right.
Kenneth Copeland, he really goes and, what is his name? The one who claims that Jesus comes to him for advice.
Jesse Duplantis?
Yeah, Duplantis, and these people just amazing. I debated a Pentecostal preacher on this some years ago, and I used this passage right here to show them, you know, and I asked him, what known dialect are you speaking? He couldn't tell me.
Okay? Right.
And so here now, but now you have these people, verse 13, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So you had those that were there to be sarcastic, because they couldn't understand, they didn't understand the cloven tongues. They couldn't understand. See, if God opens your eyes, only the eyes of believers and not believers, mm-hmm. and to see a bunch of people. Now remember, they all could hear the apostles speaking, Peter, in their own language, but they were not speaking. They were all speaking different languages. So.
Yeah.
So these critics would be looking at this and saying they couldn't understand what they're saying, right? And to them it appeared that these guys may have been drinking.
Right, and earlier in the chapter 1, it talked about there was 120 in the upper room, and it was a mixed multitude of the apostles and then also women and other disciples. So there was... It appears to be 120 people out there speaking to this huge crowd because later on we'll see that many were saved. I think it's 3,000 that were saved. So
yeah. And so here he goes on, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." Now, one of the things that Christians were known for at that time was, remember when Jesus made the new wine at the wedding, and so Christians drank new wine. They didn't drink, you know, they were known to not drink alcohol, right.
Alcoholic content, yeah.
And so here, so these guys were kind of mocking, saying, look at these Christians, right? So here now, he says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well, he's speaking partially. This is partially what Joel said. In fact, if you go over to Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass that afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all the flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And then the second part of this comes back during the tribulation of the millennial kingdom.
Yeah.
And also upon the servants will, and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in heaven and on the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon shall be into blood. And the great and terrible day of the Lord. Of course, that's the tribulation period.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered for. In Mount Zion, this goes back to Zechariah chapter 14, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in all the remnant who the Lord shall call. And that deliverance, and they come into the millennial kingdom. Now, Peter goes on to say, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in all those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then I will show wonders in heaven and the signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into moon and darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here Peter is quoting Joel now. Here you come. He says, "You men of Israel, hear the words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, miracles and wonders, signs God did by which, by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered," and here you go, this is the key part of this whole thing, "by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified the slain and slain." In other words, here, remember that first prophecy was made 4,000 years, Genesis 3:15, before 4,000 years before Christ was crucified. "And when God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For God speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, and he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved." He's also referred to Isaiah 53, the prophecy. "Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope."
That was David's quote from Psalm 16. Uh-huh.
Yep, that was King David. "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And so I think we're going to stop right there tonight. We have a little clip. I think it's important that we should hear. Last night we played a clip showing people about what has taken place, what they're not being told by the fake news media there in North Carolina about the flood. And here now, I remember we broke this story about Hillary Clinton and Hillary has just, she's been associated, she's been to Epstein's Island, I don't know how many times. Hillary's been to the place in New Mexico, his ranch, where all of the children disappear. And so she's trying to cover her tracks. Hillary is scared to death, and that Trump is going to get into office. Remember, she said, if he gets in, we're all going to hang. If he gets in, we're all going to hang, okay?
Especially with all the Diddy stuff now, too.
Yeah, well, that's right. She was involved big time with Diddy.
Oh, yeah, her and Bill.
Yeah, both of them were over here at his place. And so now the names are going to come out. And so she's kind of preparing the way ahead of time to try to cover her tracks. So go ahead and play that clip.
In October of 2016, WikiLeaks released the Podesta emails, over 20,000 pages of private emails from White House Chief of Staff John Podesta. This is the best example of an October surprise in our lifetimes. The Podesta emails opened the minds of millions to the fact that torturing children is a sort of sacrament to the vile creatures in control of our government. This 2016 October surprise became known as Pizzagate, and it was a deciding factor in many people voting against Hillary Clinton. Just as the Sean Combs child rape stories are dominating the public discourse, Hillary Clinton predicts an October surprise that will smear Kamala Harris, comparing it to Pizzagate.
What is something you see happening in the near future that we should be taking more seriously?
I anticipate that, you know, something will happen in October, as it always does. I anticipate there will be a full court press in October. The digital airwaves will be filled. And why does that matter? Because the press that is pro-Trump anyway, oftentimes stories are put on digitally that then are picked up by, let's say, at Fox and others. And then those stories are stories, so the mainstream press reports on them. And so that story then takes on a life of its own. There will be concerted efforts to distort and pervert Kamala Harris, who she is, what she stands for, what she's done. I mean, the crazy story about me running a child trafficking operation out of a basement of a pizzeria. Don't laugh. It was a huge story. It starts online, often on the dark web. It migrates. It's picked up by the pro-Trump media. It's then reported on by everybody else, which makes sure it has about 100% coverage. And people believe it. So I don't know what it's going to be, but it will be something, and we'll have to work very, very hard to make sure that it is exposed as the lie that it is.
It sounds like she is referring to the Sean Combs case, where hundreds of victims have already come forward, including dozens who were children at the time, and revealed that drugging and raping people in front of a crowd of famous people was a ritual event of the P. Diddy party.
Typically, the victim is lured into a situation where he or she is given a drink. Typically, that drink, reported by these victims, is apparently laced with something. Once that drink takes effect, the perpetrators perform all kinds of sexual acts on the victims, many times passing him or her around as other people watch and enjoy the show, and then leave the victim ashamed, confused, injured, and wondering what happened. The day will come when we will name names other than Sean Combs, and there's a lot of names. Anyone, of course, who engaged in the assault or exploitation, anyone who participated in such in any way, anyone who encouraged or facilitated this conduct, anyone who was in the room and watched it happen but made no effort to stop it, any venue or venue owner who was aware of what was going on but failed to stop it, any individual or entity who knew about the conduct and benefited from it but did nothing to report it or stop it, and any individual or entity who covered it up or helped cover it up. I would expect there are many people out there right now who are desperately searching their memories as they delete their texts and data.
Without knowing the target, Remote Viewers, the Future Forecasting Group, was assigned near future global events in the fourth quarter of 2024, Several of them saw what appeared to be a major event before the election.
I had a feeling that someone was planning a coup of some kind.
Replacing one person with another, a swap or a change, it creates shock and awe, an unexpected change, like a last-minute sleight of hand before the show ends. Like a new teammate or a new candidate.
A strong, powerful male was involved, a planned removal event.
I don't think this is Trump. This person looked younger. I wrote, you know, he reminds me of like Gavin Newsom, like that kind of look.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Yeah, what that's all about. First of all, let me go back to what Hillary was saying, okay? I saw pictures that were taken. You had these Hollywood elites, a number of them sitting down there. And at these tables, they had children there. And they had names for the little boys and the little girls were different. And they used the expressions like pepperoni for the little boys or something else for the little girls. And that's why they were referring to it as Pizzagate. They were actually serving pizza. You saw pizzas at the tables, and there was a lot of people there. And you know, like real, you know, table end to end tables, and one of them was taking place underneath a large pizzeria upstairs. It was a pizza restaurant, okay, but this was held down below, but there was a number of those things were called Pizzagate, and that's why they referred to them as Pizzagate, because the boys and girls were in different acts. They used words from pizzas.
Yeah, I see.
I mean, look at Bohemian Grove. That's just another great example of a place, an event where all these world elite meet once a year that no media is allowed, no press is allowed, no one's ever infiltrated the inside, and it's said to have these kind of rituals for it, too.
Well, there has been some people got in pretty close. We've gotten some pictures of the big old owl,
right.
And supposedly they put on, which is supposed to be a human sacrifice. You don't know if it's a ritual or, but anyhow, there.
I wasn't aware that the media was pro-Trump. Like Hillary said, it's a lie. She's backpedaling. She's trying to run for ground, I think.
She's preparing because she knows that what's going to come out with Diddy, she's involved in. She's been over to his place, him and Slick Willie, with all the pedophilia. The Democratic Communist Party is flush. The top down, Podesta's, the whole bunch. Podesta's, there was a photographer got inside of his house, and he had full length, full size. These are pictures, not photographs, or, you know, actual photographs, not paintings, of young teenage girls stark nude all over the house, okay? The Podesta brothers were involved with that, what they call the spirit mixer. What was her name? She's actually Hillary's friend. There's a DVD, and I'm trying to think of what her name is, but she's a very well-known witch.
It was a Russian name, if I
yeah.
just can't remember.
And so, but anyhow.
I think there's an important part of that Hillary interview that we're glassing over, too, and it might be the only part of truth that's in there. She mentions that a lot of these things go around on the deep web. Let's not forget the deep and dark web were started by the federal government as a means to trade illegal
CIA,
weapons. Right. Yeah, it's a government institution is the deep and dark web.
That's why Kennedy wanted to defund the CIA.
Exactly.
Reagan wanted to defund the CIA. So does Trump. And because they're a dark state, deep state, a government within a government, a rogue government. And so, anyhow, I thought we needed to bring a lot of this stuff out. And before we're not going to have a break. I wanted to make an announcement, too, and that is that this is Life Chain. This coming Sunday, nationwide, from coast to coast, you're going to have hundreds of thousands of people out there on Life Chains. Now, every major city, even your smaller cities, there's going to be life change. I can't, you know, give the whole list, but if you go up on the internet to Life Change USA or whatever, you'll find out where there's one in your area, in your state, wherever. But in our county, Geauga County, we'll be having its Life Change this Sunday at the corners of Route 306 and Route 322. It's Route 306 and Route 322, and that'll be from 1:30 to 2:30. Now, 20 miles straight down 306, going north, Lake County is having their Life Change at the same time at Route 306 and Route 20. Route 306 and Route 20. All around Cleveland, you have Cleveland Life Chains. Just go up on the internet and look out Life Chain, and you'll find out where it is in your neck of the woods. Now, right now we're going to let Dr. Peter Glidden overwhelm us with his brilliance.
Pastor, what is the Life Chain, Pastor? What is that?
Okay, the Life Chain is when we stand out there and we put hundreds of people and they line the highways and they hold signs saying abortion is not health care or adoption, not abortion. Okay.
Yeah.
And we stand out there for an hour, and in our neck of the woods, we get a real positive response. People beeping horns, giving us thumbs up. Other areas, you don't, you won't get it. You know, in the highly Democratic areas, you'll get a lot of, the middle fingers and things because they're wicked people.
Important differential here, lining the highways versus blocking the highways, which is what the Dems do.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that'll happen this coming Sunday. It's always the first Sunday in October. And there you go.
I heard an interesting description the other day. Somebody, I think it was on Twitter X. They said, "Here's the difference between a Democrat and a Republican. When a Republican decides to become a vegetarian, they stop eating meat. When a Democrat decides to become a vegetarian, they stop eating meat and outlaw everybody else eating meat."
Yeah,
that's the difference between the two.
Well, you know, it's funny you used to say that because Kamalik wants to have a Department of Food Regulators. She wants to regulate. Yeah, it was part of her plan. She says that the grocery stores out there are gouging people. So she wants the federal government to regulate the amount of food.
Just what we need, more federal regulation.
Kerry wants to institute a truth panel, right? He wants to have a ministry of truth.
Yeah, you have to get rid of the First Amendment.
Yeah,
only certain people should have the right to have opinions, huh?
Thank you very much, John Kerry. What a waste of space that guy turned into. It's really upsetting.
Well, see, hypocrisy is unbelievable to these people. It's to us, hypocrisy is repulsive. To them, it's something to be embraced. I said, one time Hillary came to Cleveland, okay, and she didn't know who I was. She didn't know I was sitting there. But here I'm sitting because I've got a radio face. They didn't recognize me, although I've done some television programs. But here, as I was sitting there with my kind of hat pulled down over my eyes, too, I was listening to these, and they were sitting there with us, and they were bragging, these Democrats that were there. These were some local city council type people. And they were bragging about telling people what they should do and trying to force their will, and then doing the opposite themselves. They were laughing. This was something that they were proud of, that they were... They were using their hypocrisy. And so it's like the fellow that just the COVID czar out of New York that we talked about him last night. When he was practicing, people had to stay indoors. They had to wear their mask. They had to distance, social distancing. And yet, at the same time, he was enforcing that. In other words, enforcing that, or you, if you they would shut you down in your business and that, and trying to close down churches. At the very same time, he was attending a party of 200 people at one of their big underground resort areas, that they were right there. So you had 200 people, no masks. They had this big party, and they were laughing and mocking that they were doing this, just like Newsom did in California. Remember, he had that big dinner party and had his whole family. Nobody would wear any masks or anything. And Nancy Pelosi, same thing. When she wasn't wearing her mask, she went to her hairdresser and all this stuff. But to them, hypocrisy is something to be embraced. Jesus said, "Woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites."
And well, I think when you boil it down to the root, it has to be based in atheism, because there's no sense of propriety, there's no sense of right or wrong. You can basically do whatever you want to do, and as long as you get away with it, it's okay. And this is the mindset that is distilled from an atheistic point of view, you know, inside of a worldview where there are absolutely no consequences for any of your actions. And, you know, it's kind of live large now, ladies and gentlemen, because, you know, tomorrow, well, we're all going to be dead and it's all lights out, game over. There's no such thing as life after death. It's an atheistic worldview, I think, that informs that type of behavior. And it's really unsettling.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, too, and Richard can tell you, so many of these so-called atheists, when they're on their deathbed, all of a sudden they've got fear on their face. Okay, like Tampon Timmy when he debated. You know,
that was great, wasn't that great? What a slap down that was. That was a good day for debating.
The look on his face, it was like. He had an earpiece and he was getting signals and he didn't know what to do and he was totally confused, but and he was afraid what might come out. He didn't know what Vance knew about him, what might bring out. I mean, you know, think about that. Here's a guy that put tampon machines in boys' bathrooms. What kind of a sicko would do that, right? But you know what else he didn't want to come out? You had a good number of babies that survived abortions, and he denied them any care. They were set to left alone all by themselves to die. These people are totally wicked. And that's what Tampon did is he is a cowardly little, wicked little man. And like I said, see, if, you know, there's probably not a baby in the world he's afraid of. He'd fight any baby, but... you put him up against a man face to face, someplace where he couldn't get away, and then look down because you'll see a puddle of water at his feet. Because Tampon Timmy, and we're on a big station there in Minnesota, so they're all hearing us again tonight. Tampon Timmy, that's the kind of a cowardly man he is, and that's what he's known for. Anyone who's in favor. Anyone who is in favor of killing children, by the way, you cannot possibly be pro-abortion and be a Christian. It's an impossible, you can't do it, okay? And these people, they call themselves, that it's a woman's right, no. In fact, I'm taking, you know, I have, I'm finished with Melania Trump. I heard her say today, that when it comes to abortion, that should be only up to the woman, only to the woman. No one else should be involved. Well, I don't think she got pregnant by herself, do you?
Yeah. Hello. Yeah.
I bet she didn't. Okay, and you know what else? God has already ruled on that. You see, when you used to make a statement like that, this goes back to the Bushes. Both Daddy Bush and Baby Bush were pro-life. They actually were pro-life. We got pro-life legislation passed under both of them, but both of their wives were pro-death. Hmm. I've got absolutely no respect for anyone who calls killing a baby reproductive rights. Hmm. Okay? Yeah. It's like us taking a gun and going out there and shooting down a bunch of people and calling it our first, you know, Second Amendment. This is our Second Amendment rights, right?
Right.
Okay. I mean,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, so the whole thing with the abortion thing, I mean, it's just from a purely objective point of view, and I don't understand why nobody has ever argued this to the Democrats. Maybe they have. I haven't really been inside of this loop. But it's a question of when does life begin, right? Because, I mean, if you slit a baby's throat a minute after it's born, that's infanticide. That's murder. Well, what if you do it while the baby's still in utero? Is that infanticide? Well, of course it is. Well, when does life begin? Well, life begins at the moment of conception.
That's right.
Well, actually, read Jeremiah 1:5, Richard. Turn to Jeremiah 1:5. And then if we go to Ephesians chapter 1, 2 also, but this will answer your question here.
Where are we going? Jeremiah, let me get it here.
Okay.
Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
Now, did you know he tells you that in Ephesians, God knew us before he created the earth? You heard it sometimes. Pastor Fred and I used to kid each other about being older than dirt. Well, reality, we are older than dirt because we existed in the mind of God even before the foundations of the earth. Now, you say, how could things like this possibly be? We God said with him, there's no impossibilities. There's none with him. And so anything that exists in the mind of God is just as real as anything that we could touch, feel, or see, you know. And so here, again, what they said, you know, of course, obviously, we can't communicate with a human before the egg is fertilized, okay, in the womb. But it's a life. We know at least by then, right?
But we also know from Scripture that God is in charge of the conception. Just because a woman has a relationship with a man doesn't mean she's going to be pregnant. God's hand's in that, whether she conceives.
God said only women can get pregnant. Democrats say no, not anymore, right?
Okay. Well, look, I'm in complete agreement with this, but my point is that when you're arguing with an atheist who does not believe in God, then that's a moot point because they just don't believe in God. So a better point when you're arguing with an atheist is, well, you know, if you slit a baby's throat a minute after it's born, that's murder, that's infanticide, so you agree that life has begun at that point. You believe, you understand that you're taking somebody's life. Okay. So then the question becomes to pose to an atheist who's in favor of abortion is, well, when does life begin? And since they don't, nobody, science hasn't been able to answer that, right? The materialistic, atheistic view, everybody has a different opinion. It's the moment of conception. It's the moment that the baby's heart starts beating. It's the moment that the baby can survive all by itself outside of the womb, right? All these different ideas.
Well, listen. We have decided that. In fact, I worked on legislation for that, okay? Let me ask you today, if there's an accident and someone, how do they determine if that person is still alive or dead? If there's a heartbeat, they determine he's alive. If there's no heartbeat, they say there's no heartbeat. And so when there's a heartbeat, okay, we know that there's life, and you have a heartbeat as soon as 18 days after conception, okay? And so as early as 18 days. So it's always been, in my whole lifetime, they've always determined that the person was alive if they had a heartbeat, okay?
Yeah, but the point, I agree, the point that I'm poorly trying to make here is if you are arguing with an atheist, right, that the argument would be, well, you agree that life begins at some point in time, okay, because you can't murder a baby after it's born because that's murder because life has already begun. So when does life begin? So since there is disagreement amongst many different people when life actually begins, wouldn't it be rational and reasonable to err on the side of caution? I mean, isn't it reasonable to err on the side of caution for when life begins? Because you're an atheist, you don't know when life begins. If you say that life begins once the baby's born, what if you're wrong?
When have you ever seen a reasonable atheist?
Well,
let me listen. Let me tell you about it. You take an atheist, and you take that atheist, and you put him in a car and let that car catch on fire, and watch how quick he starts calling out to God. Okay, we've seen these. All of these so-called atheists, whenever it gets down to nothing, to where it matters, they start crying out to God. And so
I want to tack something on here too real quick, just because I'm tired of hearing this argument of, oh, well, what if you need an abortion for a life-saving operation for the mother? I'm really tired of this argument because you know what the statistic is for life-saving operations with abortion?
Probably less than 1%.
It's about 1% because we have such things as C-sections now, and we have for hundreds of years. Life-saving abortions are a minute of a minute. And if you want to say, oh, that's still too much of a percent, let's take something else that's 1%. Fatalities and car accidents. By that logic, we have to ban all cars because 1% of all car accidents result in fatalities, right?
Yeah, but you see, you know, we did a report on that back in the early from 73 till about 1980. The government, the Department of Health put out, they had not one case, not one, not even one where a child had to be killed to save the mother's life. Not one documented case. Yeah. Okay, and so, but you won't hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS. And so,
wait a minute. I thought the mainstream media was pro-Trump.
yeah. They're it's an amazing thing out there today. I mean, it's just unbelievable how, you know, the Bible says all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. And you have, well, actually, we got media whores. The Bible said they're whores. It refers to them as they've gone a whoring.
Yes.
I've said it before, Pastor, and maybe this is a character flaw on my part, and maybe I need to repent. I'm not sure, but I sure would like a front row seat at that lake. No kidding. I really would.
It's a horrible, horrible thing. Let me tell you, I can't imagine how. But those people. Well, you know, and this is why we, every single day, you know, we cry out, repent or perish, repent or perish. And now, and think about this. Now, listen, this shows you how these people, these Democrats are. They call killing a baby reproductive rights. Okay, now, what does it mean to reproduce? Reproduce doesn't mean to kill, right? It's just the opposite. And so, and they call, look at Planned Parenthood. It should be Planned Parenthood. They've got nothing to do with parenthood. They're right. In total opposition. Everything about liberalism out there today, in fact, if you read in Isaiah 32, it tells you about liberalism, is absolutely insane. These people have become totally reprobate. They're totally reprobate. And there comes a point where there's no turning back. Mm-hmm. And again, to call killing babies reproductive rights, how sick can you get? All right, so with that, now, since you're here, Dr. Glidden, how are you going to make these people well?
Well, you know, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge and by pharmakia or all nations deceived, so we're going to educate.
All right.
I don't want patients. I want students. I don't want to give somebody a fish. I want to teach them how to fish. And if people knew the stuff that I know and that I have been taught and that I have seen in 36 years of clinical experience as a licensed naturopathic physician, if people were taught the stuff that I know and my colleagues know in high school, we wouldn't have a chronic health epidemic. We simply wouldn't. Because the naturopathic physician...
In 5 minutes, can you tell me what you know?
Yeah, the Ayurvedic physician the acupuncturist, right? All of these people are trained in therapeutics that support and promote the body's built-in God-given ability to fix itself. Mm-hmm. Those are the therapeutics that we're trained in. And these are the therapeutics that are missing from the mainstream, not because they're not true, but because the mainstream since 1915 has been monopolized by the pharmaceutical cartel. We haven't had medical freedom in this country for over 109 years. And Benjamin Rush, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, warned us of it. Here's what he said, and I'm paraphrasing. Unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize itself into a dictatorship to restrict the art of healing to one class of people and deny equal privileges to others will constitute the Bastille of medical science. All such laws are un-American and despotic. End quote. And that's exactly what's happened, right? There was a hostile takeover of the medical market in 1915, orchestrated by the Carnegies and the Rockefellers. The MDs ensconced themselves in first place and kicked everybody else off of the bus of medicine. And that's a problem, because absolute power corrupts absolutely. There's room, of course, in the world for conventional medicine. You just experienced that yourself, Pastor, a little while ago. Sometimes they're really good at what they do. But we need medical freedom. We need all medical professionals to have a seat at the table. And we haven't had that since 1915, and it is literally killing us. Chronic disease is escalating. Alzheimer's is escalating. Autism is escalating. And it's not because you have a bad gene or because you have a voodoo curse or because of chemtrails. It's because the medicine which is in the monopoly today is not sufficient to that cause. The medical doctors are really great at trauma care. Military field medicine, right? The complications of childbirth, saving the baby's life, saving the mother's life. They're really good at that.
You would have been proud of me, Peter, if you'd heard the conversations, because I had speaking to some medical doctors, and they were saying how much of what naturopathic medicine is quackery. Well, and I went after Big Pharma. And I let them know, Pharmakia. It's and I said, well, let me ask you this: how many people die every year from prescription drugs? How many people die from prescription drugs? And because they wanted to prescribe to me statins, and you know, I've been around a while, and I've lived my life without taking any of these drugs, okay, so-called medications. And I said, well, tell me this: you mean to tell me that there's not people? That there's not a lot of side effects with these statins, and well, you know, that they really couldn't answer that. Okay.
Well, they'll give you some medicine for the side effects.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you take this, and when that makes you sick, you'll take this to make you better. When that makes you sick, yeah.
Right.
But
right.
Now,
well, so but here's the thing, Pastor, and you know, we need perspective on this, and we don't have it because of the medical monopoly. Look, it's not the gun, that's how it's used. It's not the drug, it's how it's used. I mean, every time I'm in the dentist chair, I thank God for lidocaine, right? Thank God for general anesthesia and the sterile technique. It's not that all drugs are bad and evil. And the way that the medical doctors, bless their hearts, are trained to use the drugs are non-curative. So the heartburn is never cured, it's managed. The blood pressure is never cured. It's managed. The arthritis is never cured. It's managed. Nothing is ever cured except, you know, a bacterial infection here or there. And this is a gigantic problem because inside of this medical method, the older that you get, the weaker that you get, the more dependent on the drug that you get. And then in the United States, you go bankrupt because the leading cause of bankruptcy is medical bills. And then you die. And it's a gigantic problem. We desperately need medical freedom. And Bobby Kennedy's talking about, you know, making America healthy again, and he wants to rein in the FDA. I think that's a great idea. He wants to have consequences for doctors that, you know, give their patients false, misleading information, and then they take a drug and it hurts them. Well, that's a great idea.
Well, you know what I found out, Peter, is a lot of these people, like where I was, I could tell you, I got excellent care at Hillcrest Hospital. I mean, I got absolutely excellent care. And you know, 25 years ago, I led up a protest because they were doing abortions. We had 700 people out in front of that place. You probably remember, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely.
And so, in fact, I even had the medical doctor who was in charge of the ethics, who happened to be a good friend of mine, come out and get up on the podium and speak against the hospital there that he was employed at. But anyhow, I can say there's a number of those people that wish that they could use natural drinks, natural herbs in that instead of the drugs.
They can't because of their standard of care. They can't do it. And this is a problem, right? And none of the research that's done, all the research that's done at the local university is based on pharmaceuticals because they're all funded by the pharmaceutical companies. And it's been a one-trick pony for over 100 years. And so my position is, based on what I've seen in 36 years of clinical work, that the problem with the reason that we have a chronic health disease epidemic is because of the current system. It is the current paradigm which is to blame, and you cannot fix the chronic health disease epidemic inside of the inside of this paradigm. The paradigm needs to be changed. We need to do what Benjamin Rush told us to do in the 1700s. We need medical freedom. We need naturopathic doctors and chiropractors and acupuncturists and Ayurvedic practitioners and herbalists and homeopathic doctors. They all need to have equal protection under the law, equal insurance payments, equal amounts of research done. We all need to come together and join hands across this aisle because we all bring different strengths to the table, the MDs included. But this is what's needed here, and until that happens, I can't really see anything gigantically positive changing.
Well, you know, Solomon said, money answereth all things. And just like today, you have George Soros who's trying to buy over 200 radio stations, and the FCC is pushing it through. They're violating all their own laws and rules to push it now.
Because of the money.
You don't suppose somebody got a real hefty deposit in their banking account, you know, from George Soros, right? That's just the way to corrupt. Our government is so corrupt, just so corrupt, okay? And so the Congress is looking into that.
Soros even looks like the evil emperor from Star Wars. Have you ever noticed that? It's kind of uncanny.
Yeah, he is evil to the core.
So we do what we can to educate people. Look, you know, there are alternatives. There are, and it's probably a good idea if you don't eat these foods because they're going to hurt you. It's probably a good idea if you take these nutritional supplements into your body because your body needs them and they're not in the food that you're eating anymore. And it's probably a good idea when you get sick if you attempt to support your body's God-given ability to try to fix it. And that's a good idea. Why don't we do that? Well, so this is what the knowledge base that myself and my colleagues bring to the table. And, you know, in a perfect world, this information would be mainstream. But it's not, and we're censored and blacklisted and imprisoned all the time. The Food and Drug Administration, I think I said this last time I was on your program, it raided the office of a colleague of mine who's in Ohio about 10 weeks ago. They took all of his equipment, and they still haven't told him what they're charging him with. It's probably going to roll out for 2 years, and then they're going to say, oops, we made a mistake, sorry. He's never going to get his equipment back, but in the meantime, he's not able to do his work. And why did they raid his office? Because he developed an antidote, a very effective antidote to the spike proteins from the jab. And that's why they raided him, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it's
well, that's not actually true. Well, let me tell you why that is. Because there's only one absolute power, and that's God. And he's not corrupt. He's the only absolute power. But we get the point, though. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So we're coming up to a break here, and see, I gotta defend God all the time, right? All right.
And so, yes.
Before we'll be back after this. Don't go away. A lot more to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.